Let's talk a little bit about some of the examples, the military use, and let's go back while you were in the program, of course. Tell us some of the things that they specifically needed some help on.
Well, you know, I'll go right back to some of the first projects we worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency when, after we were kicked out of the Army and rescued by DIA. The very first one we worked was actually to try and identify if there were still American POWs in a certain set of camps in Indochina. And that was, of course, none of us working this knew anything about what was going on there. You know, we were just tasked. In fact, there were great pains, which, again, I document in my book, but great pains taken so that we wouldn't know what was going on, what the targeting was. And the idea was to find out, are there American POWs still there? And so, you know, we addressed all of these camps. But one really kind of amusing story was Bill Ray again. He was remote viewing one of these targets, and he said, "You know, I don't know what this is, but it seems to be some kind of compound. There's these watchtowers and fences and stuff, and it makes me want to whistle the bridge over the River Kwai."
So true, so true.
Anyway, the interesting outcome here, and I think it's been unfairly reported in the past. The interesting outcome was that we didn't find any American POWs. Now, it's come out that, well, we failed. You know, we failed in doing this. But that's not true, because a negative report can often be as valuable as a positive one. What we discovered was that we did not find any American POWs in these camps. So at least in those camps, I think the fair conclusion is, based on how carefully the project was done, that there weren't any there, you know. So, not to say that there might not be some somewhere else, but we didn't find any in those camps.
Let's talk a little bit about the Iraqi fighter bomber that hit the USS Stark in, what was that, 87?
Yes, May of 87.
Well, what was involved there?
Well, that was an interesting project. In fact, I devote an entire chapter to it in my book. It was really a complete surprise. We had this tasking modality that we called an open search, and the idea was that the queuing number, the coordinate as we called it, that we would receive didn't necessarily stand for a specific target. It would stand for something like, tell us what the most important thing is for us to know in the next few days or something like that, right? Now, of course, the viewer still doesn't know that's what the tasking is. All, as far as they know, it's still just a regular old target, you know, and they're going to go over and do it, right? So one of these came up, and I was, escorted over to the building that where we did our operations, and proceeded to do the project. The person who was managing this, who was doing the monitoring, in fact, was Ed Dames, who's often on Coast to Coast.
Yes, yes.
He had a different agenda in mind than the tasking literally was. Tell us what's most important for us to know in the next couple of days. And he already had an idea of what it might be. And it wasn't what I ended up describing. Apparently, my subconscious interpreted that as meaning what's most important for the American military to know about in the next few days. And so I sit down, and I get this impression of this large metal structure, and it's moving, and it's in the middle of the water, and that kind of resolves, so I realize this is some sort of warship, and in fact, it reminded me of an American destroyer. And this is, it's at night, I knew that was the case. In fact, very oddly, I had the sense of sauteing celery, you know, like maybe there's something being cooked up in the galley for the next day or something, I don't know. That thought came afterwards, I just had this celery sensation at the time. That was basically meaningless for what happened next. I then had this impression of an aircraft kind of orbiting around and some distance away from this ship, and then the aircraft, for some, to me at that time, inexplicable reason, dropped these two, well, let me think, I got kind of confused whether it was one or two cylindrical objects with little short stubby wings that make this kind of roaring, guttering sound. And this object, you know, flies around in a kind of aimless way, and then all of a sudden comes together with the vessel, and the vessel, you know, shakes and bends and leans over, and there's fire and smoke and pandemonium and you know, it was kind of a surprise to me, actually, that came out. It reminded me of an Exocet attack on a ship in the Falklands War. So anyway, Ed says, well, let's find out more about this aircraft. Can you tell me where it comes from? And I identified a flat, sandy area, and you want to know who is controlling it, and I described this kind of third-world city with flat roofs and domestic animals in the streets and people speaking something that sounded like Arabic. And he said, oh, you're off. You know, this, you're not, in other words, by implication, I'm not getting what, you're not getting what I want you to, right? And so I said, okay, well, you know, and he says, you know, you can't be on all the time. And I agreed, you know, viewers aren't 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
sure.
They make mistakes. So we go home, you know, it was the weekend, and Monday morning, Skip Atwater, the guy who's operations and training officer, gives me a call. He says, Paul, where's that session? I say, oh, gee, I don't know why you want it. It was a mess, but it's in my safe drawer. He said, you haven't read the papers yet today, have you?
And there it was.
I pick up the Washington Post, and USS Stark hit by Exocet missile fired by an Iraqi jet. And it was astonishing. I mean, not just the fact that, you know, 50 hours before this happened, I described it, but what that says about a lot of things, and the things about the universe, you know, that we don't necessarily...
Paul, when the event occurs, and then you think back at your remote viewing session, do you say, that was it? Or do you know, I mean, are you that sure by that point?
You mean when you're at the end of the session, do you feel like you've gotten it correctly or not?
Well, I mean, when you actually have the event occur,
oh,
then do you say, that's now I know that's exactly what I was saying?
Some sessions are that good. Some sessions, there's no doubt that what you just did, what you're getting feedback on now is exactly what you described, you know, at some previous point, with no information about the target available to you. Now, some are more ambiguous, and those you have to be careful of, because there's always the human temptation to try and fit the data to match your effort, you know. But some are just prima facie, undisputable, that was it. And this was one of those cases.